It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Want to make a quick introduction. We're happy to have Donna's son, J.B. Shugarts, visiting with us this weekend. And I know y'all saw Donna and J.B. walk in, but many of you haven't had the opportunity to meet him yet. But we're so happy that he could come and spend the weekend with us this weekend. Anyway, as we get started, I want to invite your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to start reading this morning in verse 40. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 40, and would invite you to stand with me as we read God's Word together. This is talking about David. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come with me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran over and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated, please. Today we're looking at one of the very familiar passages of Scripture. Can I go ahead and say to all of you that this seems an appropriate sermon? Because in my notes, the first time I ever preached on this was in the summer of 1976. I was serving as a summer missionary down in Citronelle, Alabama, working at the Mobile Baptist Association camp there. And the director went over to Searcy Hospital in north of Mobile. Any of you know Searcy Hospital? Not from this part of the state. It was the mental hospital for South Alabama. And it seems appropriate that I preach to you the sermon I first preached at the mental hospital. I've gotten to know some of you well now. Anyway, but we all need to go back to the familiar places in Scripture, and we need to listen for what it is that God would have to say to us. Sometimes the stories are so familiar that we think, okay, I already know this, I can check out, I can work on my to-do list for the week to come, or, you know, some of you don't have any problem nodding off during service. I know that's my fault, not yours. But I ask you this morning, if you would, tune in for a few minutes, and let's see what God might have to say to us. I'm pretty simple when it comes to looking at Scripture. I really am, because I think We need to find the basic truths of Scripture. Those are the things that I can apply to my life. Not necessarily the deep, heady kind of things that I used to get out of seminary classes. They're great. But what is it that God wants to say to me to help me live my life this week in a way that will please Him? So let's turn to the story. The first thing I want to point out to you from this passage of Scripture is David knew what God's will was. Now, backing up, Wednesday night at the Wednesday night Bible study, I read the whole chapter of verse 17. And we went through, David, the battle has been called. David's got three older brothers who are serving. This is little brother, the youngest of seven. And dad calls him in and he says, here, take this fresh baked bread and take it to your brothers. Take these cheeses and give it to the commander. And you go and check on my boys and come back and tell me how things are going. After all, this is a battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. Up close and personal, there are casualties that happen. I want to know how my sons are doing. Are they okay? So David goes. Now, typical little brother coming in. He is not content just to do, because they're lined up and the battle's not happening, he goes in and he finds his brothers, he makes his delivery, but tell me how things are going. And he gets dismissed by the older brothers. And the things are happening, but actually there's no battle taking place. Because on one hillside are the Philistines, on the other hillside are the Israelites, and in the valley there's nothing happening except every morning the 9-foot giant comes out carrying a spear that's about this big around that you and I wouldn't be able to pick up, much less throw. He's got armor on, he's got an armor bearer in front of him, and he is coming out and issuing a challenge. You send me your champion. Just the two of us will go at it, and whoever wins, the other army will become slaves. This guy is bigger than anyone they have ever seen. And nobody wants to be the one to go out and face him. So there's been a lot of talk going on, not just between Goliath and the Israelite army, but there's a lot of talk going on in the ranks. You go out, I'm not going. You know, somebody else needs to do this, not me. And who could go out there and face him? As I pointed out Wednesday night, if you read earlier in this, the champion among the people was Saul, because it says he was a head taller than anybody around. He was the one who should have gone out, but Saul's not going either. So many times we want to talk when we need to act. So many times we want to look and see the problems instead of the solutions. So many times we want to discuss things to death rather than doing anything. David irritated a lot of people, but especially his older brothers, because he cut to the chase. Maybe he didn't know enough to have these kind of conversations. But David looked and he saw and he knew what God's will was. Somebody ought to go out and fight him. Oh, little brother, shut your mouth. Go back home and tend those few sheep that you have to watch after. You don't know anything. What is it that God wants you to do? Will you see what God's will is? The late Dr. W.C. Dobbs was one of my religion professors at Mobile College. One day in class, just made the passing statement. Do you want to know what God's will is? Read your Bible. A lot of it's there in black and white. You don't have to ask a question about what God's will is. It's written for you in Scripture. Can I point out a few things I've already said? The Bible tells us we're supposed to love each other. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Who's my neighbor? Parable of the Good Samaritan tells us it's anybody you come across that's in need. We're supposed to love. Not only does he stop there about loving one another, loving your neighbor, Scripture also tells us we're supposed to love our enemies, to do good to those who would despitefully use us. Do you want to know what God's will is? It's to show love the way Jesus showed us how to love, in a way that brings redemption to other people. You're also supposed to bear spiritual fruit. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Some of us are aging. Some of you have told me you're not anymore, that you're just going to stay where you are. Some of us are aging. Do you understand what it is? There are not supposed to be any grouchy old men who are believers. We're supposed to become more mellow as we age, because we're becoming more and more like Jesus every day. The fruit of His Spirit is bringing its fruit in our life, so that we are becoming more like our Savior. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we're supposed to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Romans 12:18 says that we're supposed to live in peace with everyone. John 13:34 and 35 says we're supposed to love one another. Galatians 6:2 says we should bear one another's burdens. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and verse 25 says we're to pray continually for one another. And Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20 says we're supposed to make disciples. Do you want to know what God's will is? Read your Bible. So much of it. We want to focus on the will of God as something that's mysterious and hidden that He has to open up for us. Yes, there are some times when that is the case. But so much of God's will is plain and in front of us if we'll just open our Bibles. David knew God's will. That you've got somebody openly defying God's people that needed to be defeated. David saw clearly what it was. But second, I want you to see that David used the tools that God had given him. He was a shepherd, watching over sheep. But part of watching over those sheep was protecting them. And he tells, you know, there's been a time when a lion came and I had to kill the lion. There was another time that a bear came and I had to kill the bear. David has faced obstacles before. But when it came to this battle, when the word got to King Saul that there was somebody who'd volunteered to go forward, what was it that the brothers could see how young and inexperienced David was, but King Saul didn't see that. All he saw was a willing person who would go out and face down this opponent of Israel. And so he brought him in, and Saul was so happy that David would do this that he took his own armor, took it off of himself, and says, "Here, while you're going, you can use my armor, you can use my weapons." But the problem is, Saul was a big man, David not so, and so that armor hung on this not completely grown guy so that it inhibited his movements rather than enabling him to fight better. Now, I pointed out Wednesday night, you can't fight battles for the Lord using somebody else's weapons. You can only use the ones that belong to you. You can't borrow somebody else's faith to face up to something. It's only the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. So, David tried it all on, and he says, this doesn't work. This is not me. This is not what God has done in my life up to now. I've been a shepherd, so I'm taking my shepherd stuff with me. And apparently, everywhere he went, he took his sling. For walking around, he had his shepherd staff. And so, as he goes out to meet the opponent, as he passes by the little stream that happened to be running through there, he leans down and he selects five smooth stones. And he drops them in his bag, and he has his sling in his hand, and he goes out. What I want to say to you is to face the challenges that are in front of you. You need to understand that God has already given you tools to use in facing the challenge in front of you. You're not without weapons. It just may not be the same weapons that others would use. It may not be the weapons that other people would tell you you need to use. But you have been equipped to face that. Do you remember when Moses was in the wilderness when God called him? Moses had every excuse in the book not to do what God wanted him to do. I can't talk so good. Well, I'll give you your brother Aaron. He can speak on your behalf. You tell him what to say, and he'll do that. But God, choose somebody else. And finally, the Lord says to Moses, what do you have in your hands? I'm sorry, from my time, I can only do this with the words of the Christian songwriter Ken Miedema. What do you hold in your hands? Well, it's just a rod. Well, throw it down, Moses. And the scripture tells us that rod became a snake. And Moses ran from it. A shepherd's rod would be a great big snake. I don't know about you. I don't like big snakes. I would run. You would run. All God's children would run. Would we not? But God tells him to reach down and take the snake by the tail. I don't know much, but I don't know that that's the correct way to pick up a snake. Because it can turn and bite you. Sometimes I think that God tells us in our experiences that we've got to face up to our fears. Not deny them, face them. And recognize that in that God has equipped us to face what is in front of us. The end of that story, as Moses heads out to go do what God has called him to do, that same staff that he had in his hand is called in Scripture the rod of God. Moses' staff has become God's staff. And all through the rest of the Moses story, as he's leading the children out, that staff is used by God in so many different ways. God will use the experiences of your life to prepare you to face the challenges that are in front of you. He is not leaving you ill-prepared, but He does call you to use the tools that He has placed at your disposal. Third thing I want to say to you this morning is, David trusted God for the results. He saw God's will. He used the tools that God gave him, and he trusted God for the results. Can I make a confession to you? I'm not God. I also would remind you, you're not either. There are some things that we need to leave in the hands of God. If it is God's will, the Bible tells us that His will is going to be done. All the times we look at the book of Revelation and you see everything, and there are so many people that get so upset about you, about that. But I would point out to you on chapter 4 in Revelation, God is on the throne in heaven. In chapter 5, Jesus takes his place at the right hand of God at the throne of heaven, which says to us, God is on the throne. His will be done. We can trust the final result. God is in control. We need to understand when that I have done all that I know to do, all that's left for me to that remains is to trust God for the rest. So David goes out. Goliath in his armor with all of his fancy weapons and everything else. David with a stick in his hands. That's what Goliath says about it. You come at me with a stick. But he also has a sling, and he also has a rock, and he knows how to sling a rock. To put it in good Andy Griffith, he hit him right there. That stone, thrown hard and accurate, did its job. David trusted God. And he said it to Goliath before the battle started. Today, I'm going to kill you. We need to understand, instead of focusing on what we cannot do, we need to trust in what God can do. When we know what God's will is, when we do what He has called us to do with the way He has equipped us to do it, God can provide the results. So what can you not do? Well, we can fill up a list with those kind of things. What can you do? You know, that's not quite as important. The question is, what is God calling you to do, and what can God do? Will we trust that God can win the victory? The end of this story is that after Goliath fell, the army of Israel ran down, the Philistines started running away, and they fought them, and they defeated them handily all the way to the gates of the cities of the Philistines that day. It's one of the first times we read in Scripture that the Philistines were routed in battle because God provided the results. I don't know what you're facing in your life today, but I do know if God is for us, who can be against us? And He calls us to the same kind of trust in Him today as He called from David so long ago. How will we trust in our Lord today to fight the battles for us and to equip us as we go out in faith to allow His will to be done? Would you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're still working in lives today. Thank you that you call us into relationship with yourself. And I pray today that we can respond in faith as you call us. Help us to hear your voice and to say, yes, Lord, I will trust you. Amen. This morning, I want to ask you to respond to the sermon today. Will you put your faith in Jesus? Maybe somebody here's never done that. That you've been coming to church a lot of years, but you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. Would today be the day that you would say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I stand in need of your salvation. And I will trust Jesus with my life today. But some of you who've been believers for years have been given all the excuses in the book. You know them all because you've used them all. But you need to, instead of seeing why I can't do something, to see what the will of God is and say, with your help, Lord, I will do this. It's not about what we can't do. It's about what God can do if we'll just let him. What would you say to the Lord today to come in repentance and say, yes, Lord, work through me?